You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. Coming up, a look at Catholics in the United States and their views on marriage and family after Pope Francis released the document, The Joy of Love, last week.
First, the roots of psychedelic culture in the United States are deep and wide-reaching and gave us a lot of music. We just heard a little taste of it there. A new book traces the history of an American subculture that exploded into the national consciousness in the 1960s and still influences our culture today.
Our next guest traces the influence of psychedelics on everything from the Grateful Dead and other bands to the rise of the modern internet. Joining us now is Jesse Jarno, author of Heads, a biography of psychedelic America. Jesse, welcome to Central Time.
Hey, thanks so much for having me.
Well, is it fair to say that we're in a psychedelic renaissance, or is this a culture that's never really gone away?
I'd argue that it's never really gone away. There's been this amazing resurgence in research over the past few years, including a bunch of groundbreaking studies that were literally just released over the past two or three days. But really what I guess my argument is that over the last 50 years, psychedelics have played an important influence in American culture kind of at every point through the 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s, and right on into the 21st century.
This has been a topic that's fascinated researchers and scholars for at least the last decade or so. What made you want to take a new look at this?
Well, I guess it was that I started looking at the influence of the Grateful Dead. There was sort of a resurgence of interest in them about 10 years back, and I sort of started looking at the bigger picture and the bigger picture of that and just sort of the long arc of psychedelic culture in the United States, and realized that there was a story there that I, you know, knew bits and pieces of, and really wanted to know the bigger chunks of, in terms of its influence on the computer industry, in terms of its influence on American spirituality, in terms of all of these things, and how the Grateful Dead were kind of a thread through all of that over 30 years, and still beyond the death of Jerry Garcia in 1995.
And you mentioned the stories, and there are a lot of stories when you start looking at psychedelic culture. And you begin with one that kind of gets at when psychedelics burst into the mainstream at a place called the Dollar Sign. Can you tell us a little bit about that particular story?
Oh, yeah, sure. So the Dollar Sign was this cafe in New York's East Village in the late 50s. And they sold peyote over the counter, which is the cactus that grows in the Southwest and in Texas and down into Mexico, and which has been used for centuries as, you know, a source of spiritual experiences for different tribes, most lately the Native American Church. And in the 1950s, you know, those crazy beatniks in the East Village discovered that they could import peyote totally legally. They could just order it from these mail order companies in Texas. And this enterprising fellow named Baron Bruklos ordered it and repackaged it for sale in little capsules and sold it over the counter at the Dollar Sign Cafe, which is his coffee house. And that was one of the ways that psychedelics began to spread into the network. We're kind of through these little places that turned out to be groundbreaking, just these very casual arrangements of, oh, yeah, sure, I'm going to order some peyote from Texas. And it had this incredible rippling influence, not from the Dollar Sign, but another East Villager who ordered peyote from Texas was Allen Ginsberg. And that, you know, that became a huge influence on Howl, his massively important poem that was published during that decade.
Right. And Allen Ginsberg is just one example. There are tons of examples. But can you tell us about some of the most prominent ones where the psychedelic culture overlapped with and influenced artistic culture?
Oh, yeah. I mean, one of my favorite stories in this is Keith Haring, the great pop artist. And I knew that he had been influenced by psychedelics and by the Grateful Dead. There's sort of a, I guess, infamous among deadheads, at least, picture of one of his old journals with a big Grateful Dead bumper sticker on it. And I started digging into the research and discovered that he was a massive deadhead and a massive psychedelic fan. And I interviewed his old roommate and studio mate. And she told me about this T-shirt that they made, which was a Grateful Dead bootleg shirt that Keith Haring designed, and it was his first ever publicly sold artwork. It was a pirated Grateful Dead logo of the Steal Your Face, which is a skull with a lightning bolt in it, and then he drew what later became these very, you know, recognizable Keith Haring psychedelic squigglies, and made these shirts and sold them, and it was. a really sort of pivotal point in his artistic career, and he kind of passed through the dead world and the psychedelic world en route to becoming this pop artist, you know, this world-famous pop artist, but sort of pulling in these influences from the counterculture and beyond. He's certainly one of them.
We're talking with journalist Jesse Jarno right now. He has written a new book called Heads, a Biography of Psychedelic America. And Jesse, was there something about the politics and the zeitgeist of the 60s that lent themselves well to people being open to this sort of psychedelic culture?
Yeah, I mean, I think the baby boom is certainly a huge part of that, and kind of this sort of post-war prosperity where things were seemed to be stable in the United States for a while, at least until the beginning of the Vietnam War. And it led to the sort of generation of very open-minded people. And it connects up to the political situation in all kinds of ways because, you know, the civil rights movement and the escalating Vietnam War, there was a lot of density and a lot of anger, and sort of head politics became a way to sort of opt out of that and sort of find a third path that wasn't sort of just a simple cut and dry Republican versus Democrat or anything like that. It was sort of the system versus the universe. And I think psychedelics really fed into that sort of apolitical mindset in a really energetic, active way and still do.
And the Grateful Dead were a part of that, and the culture didn't begin or end with them, but why did they become such a hub for this sort of psychedelic culture that you're describing?
Yeah, well, I mean, part of it is in the Dead's origins, which is their first patron and their first sound man was a guy named Owsley Stanley, who was the first huge underground LSD chemist in the United States. And he used his LSD profits to fund the Dead, among other artistic endeavors. And they played Ken Kesey's acid tests and were really intimately involved with the early Bay Area psychedelic culture, so much so that LSD dealers and people who like taking psychedelic drugs just sort of naturally gravitated to that world. And they found this momentum to continue through the 70s and the 80s and the 90s, where so many other elements of that culture kind of fell away. And they became sort of a critical mass. They became the mainstream of psychedelic America in a way that carried that torch and that became a very literal common ground for all kinds of different factions of, you know, environmentalists and radical feminists and, you know, people who are into technology. All could kind of come together under this umbrella of, you know, the big freaky Grateful Dead. And psychedelics was a bonding point there.
You mentioned mainstream culture. I mean, did psychedelics ever become mainstream? I did see a movie last year where there were a bunch of well-heeled Brooklynites who got together in a house to take ayahuasca. But, I mean, is psychedelic culture mainstream today, or was it ever?
I would argue that it was absolutely mainstream in the 60s and 70s and became a pretty important point in, you know, visual design and music and, you know, with bands like the Dead and Jimi Hendrix and things like that. The sort of the modern iteration of mainstream psychedelia is not quite that in your face, you know, 60s style stuff. It's moving in the form of legitimate research and sort of above ground work at places like NYU and Johns Hopkins. And the study I referenced earlier from the Beckley Institute in the United Kingdom, and that's sort of the direction it's moving in, kind of away from these, you know, crazy underground parties into really looking at the things that make psychedelics work and make them so amazing. And a lot of these studies are kind of getting into the territory where they're giving the first scientific confirmation of things that, you know, people who've been taking psychedelics in this country for 50 years have known, sort of the potential of the combination of psychedelics and music and therapy was a paper that was just released yesterday, and things like that.
So what do you think is the next horizon for psychedelics and psychedelic culture in America, both in arts and also in medical applications?
Right. I mean, I think that's sort of where I guess that last study, I think, is going, where people are now, you know, studies on LSD and psychedelics have been suspended really for the last half century because of the stigma of the drugs and kind of everything that happened. And I think what's really going to happen now is that these studies are going to sort of start confirming and getting into what people have been sort of saying and informally for decades. You know, another recent study was a pilot study to study to study synesthesia, the sort of the blends of colors and sounds and smells that a lot of people traditionally report on psychedelic drugs. And because there really hasn't been any research for the last half century, nobody's been ever been able to design a study to even attempt to quantify this stuff. And it's really just the building blocks at this point. And beyond that, it's pretty endless. I'm really excited to see what comes next.
Jesse, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
That was Jesse Jarno, author of the new book, Heads, A Biography of Psychedelic America.